Well, good morning. Let's stand together. It's a joy to gather in the presence of the Lord with you today. We're so glad you're here. And let's just take this time and fix our eyes on Jesus and give him praise and glory today. We love you, God.
Come, let us sing for joy. Come, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us sing. Come with a thankful heart into his presence now to make a joyful noise to him. Come, let us sing. In his hands he holds creation, highest mountains, deepest sea, and on his hands he bears the scars of his great love for you and me. Oh, for everything you are, for everything you've done, we sing for you, we sing for you. With every breath of life you're breathing into us, we sing for you, we sing for you. The glory of your grace, the wonders of your love, a million songs of praise will never be enough. Forever and forever we sing for you.
So we come.
So we come now to give you praise. With how we love and how we obey, we want our lives to be your song. We sing for you. We sing with the saints and angels gathered now before your throne, as we sing holy, holy, holy. You are God and God alone. For everything you are, for everything you've done, we sing for you, we sing for you. With every breath of life you're breathing into us, we sing for you, we sing for you. The glory of your grace, the wonders of your love, a million songs of praise will never be enough. Forever and forever we sing for you.
We sing for you.
You're worthy, God.
God, you're saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power, for the glory of Jesus' just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. And I will rise, stand redeemed, heaven open over me to your name eternally. In this glory I will bring, and I will rise, stand redeemed, heaven open.
That's going to rise up in this unprecedented time. I want to be a part of the church that's going to say, Jesus, come and have your way in this place, regardless of what the world is telling us, regardless of the darkness that has overcome our nation and the world around us. I want to say, Jesus, come and have your way in me. Come and have your way in your church. Let us rise up as the church of Jesus, and let us proclaim his name over the darkness of our nation. Let us rise up as the church. The greatest thing we can do right now is get on our knees and pray for God to just come and have his way, for God to show up and lighten the darkness that is in the world. I firmly believe that God wants us to rise up as a church, that now is not the time to remain silent. Now's the time to get loud. Now's the time to say, Jesus, come. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I can't face this world on my own. But through you, all things are possible. Through you, you can use me. You can use me to bring light into this world. And I don't care what the news is saying. I don't care about what the politicians are saying. I care about what your word says. I care about who you are. And so I'm saying, church, rise up. Dear God, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are having your way in this place today, Jesus. And I just pray that our hearts will be open and ready to receive what you have for us this morning, God. I pray for Ion Voss's family, Jesus, as she passed away this week. God, I pray that you would just give them incredible peace in their time of grief, God, and that you would walk right alongside them, Jesus. And I just pray for the state of Florida, for all of our government officials, and all of our doctors and researchers, God, I pray as the COVID numbers are rising, God, that you would give them wisdom and discernment in how to proceed during this time, God, and that you would just do a miracle in our state and our nation, God. We pray that you would just heal our land and heal our nation, Jesus. And we just thank you, God. We just thank you for what you're about to do in this place, and we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Yeah, you guys can be seated. Thank you guys so much for being here. Whether you're here in person or watching us online, we're just so grateful that you're here, and we're so excited for what God wants to do in this place this morning. And so we have our offering boxes located by every exit door in the building. And you guys, so if you have a tithe or offering, we'd love for you to just slip it in one of those boxes at the end of this service. Or if you're watching us online and you'd like to partner with us and give, you can go to at freedomchurch.life, freedomchurch.life/give, and you can give that way as well. We're just so excited to have you guys here. So if you'd turn your attention to the announcements.
Our world is in upheaval, and the church has the answer. Fasting is the church's secret weapon in the battle for the souls of people. July 20th through August 28th is the Freedom Church 40-day fast. We want to fast and pray for God's guidance as we move through new territory in changing times. Plan to give up something for the sake of the kingdom of God, July 20th through August 28th during the 40-day fast.
Hi, Hal Donaldson here with Convive Hope with an update on our response to COVID-19. As you know, for months, communities across the United States and countries around the world have been grappling with the crisis caused by the coronavirus. At Convoy of Hope, we have been working diligently to respond to the urgent need for food and emergency supplies. Because of your unwavering support and our partnerships with churches, corporations, and civic groups, we have now distributed more than 40 million meals in more than 40 states. I just want to say thank you for making that possible. But the sobering reality is this: millions of Americans are still scared. Their cupboards are empty and their jobs are in jeopardy. And globally, hungry children and families are literally fighting each day for survival. So we have to keep going. This isn't time to stop. Millions still need our help to get through this crisis.
We can help feed people during this pandemic. Sunday, August 2nd, be ready to give to the Ministry of Convoy of Hope as we help those in need in our nation and all around the globe.
Amen. It's a good thing. Convoy Hope's doing some amazing things in the inner city. And one of the communities that's been devastated immensely by COVID-19 has been the reservations with the Indian community. And they're on site and giving and distributing food and helping them out in a good way. And we're going to get to participate that with them August 2nd. So it's a good thing to partner with people whose arm reaches further than ours. Amen? So that's a good thing. Well, we live in challenging times, that's for sure. And one of the things, as Joy was saying, is the church has to be the church. Amen? One of the great tragedies of history is during Hitler's reign, the church was silent. They didn't do anything. They didn't say anything, basically because society made it so secular that the church, they wanted you to stay in here and not say anything outside of here and just pay attention to the gospel. How many know we're called to be salt? We're called to be light in the midst of darkness. We're called to challenge the injustice that's in our world, and we can do that. Now, we don't wrestle with the way the world, we don't fight the way the world fights. The weapons of our warfare are different. He's given us the power of prayer, and I would advise you, before you proclaim, you should pray. It's the principle. Don't get the cart before the horse. Amen? So we got to pray. That's why we're fasting and praying. One of the things the Lord showed me, you know, I had this whole list of things I needed God to do, and I needed him to do bad. And I was telling our prayer group last Monday night, 6:30. You should come to that, by the way. Tomorrow night, 6:30. I was saying, you know, I had this long list, and right now everything's off the list. And I've reduced it to one thing. I just want you, Jesus. Only you. I mean, if we get Jesus, it'll be enough. The scripture makes it indicate when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to raise up a standard. I believe God is about to do something supernatural. Sometimes we got to release some things that we wanted real bad and couldn't have. And it's hard for us to accept when God says no. At least it is for me. Maybe you guys can handle that. But when he does, I know this, God wants to do something. And I've sensed that God is about to do something in our church. That means we have to prepare for that. We have to prepare for the move of God. That means you ought to be praying. That means you ought to be reading your Bible. That means you ought to be doing the disciplines of faith. Amen? That one of the things we're doing to prepare as a church is we have a prayer team that we've initiated. They've gone through training, and I want the prayer team to come down here. All of you that have been trained and ready to pray for people. I want you all to come down here. Steve Nisley is handling this. Steve, wave at everybody over there. There he is, right over there. Would you give him a hand? He's sacrificed a lot of time and energy to teach and to train. These people are going to pray for people at the altar. They've been trained to pray for people at the altar because, you know, I learned a long time ago, I just don't want anybody praying for me. Because some people don't pray the right things. And we want to make sure that when people come and respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, that we have people that are adequately trained to pray God's blessing and God's will for their lives. How many of you think that's a good idea? Amen. Amen. Hey, would you stand with me? We're going to pray over this team who has committed their hearts and lives to pray for us. When we respond, when a guest responds, they're going to just lay hand. They're going to believe the Lord to do things in their lives. Would you just pray for them? Lord, we thank you for these who have committed their heart to pray one for another, Lord. You said in your word, Lord, that when we pray one for another, we fulfill the law of Christ. And I pray God's supernatural discernment upon these, Lord, who have a heart to pray for your children, Lord, to pray for your people, Lord, who are in desperate straits, Lord. We believe with all of our heart, Lord God, you're about to do something supernatural, and we want to be ready for it. Make them ready right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lay your hand of favor upon them, Lord. Lay your hand of blessing upon them. And may the Holy Spirit work through them, Lord, as they pray for people around these altars, Lord. We thank you for the gift that every one of them are, Lord, to your kingdom, to the body of Christ, and for what you're about to do in and through our lives together, Lord. Bless these men and women as they serve, praying for your bride, Lord, your church. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Would you do that? Oh, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. It is good that you're here today. I just want to say, Wednesday night we had an awesome service. Just people gathered around here just praying, seeking the Lord. It was just a great day. And did I tell you that this Wednesday night, Joy is going to preach? In case you don't know who Joy is, she was the young lady that stood right here and prayed a minute ago, kind of excited-like. She's going to preach Wednesday night. Come on. How many... You pray for her, okay? Hallelujah. She's our newest staff person here at the church. Hallelujah. I've been taking a little sabbatical from preaching. Can you tell? And it's doing my heart good. And it's doing their heart good, too. Hallelujah. And Marco Mahar is going to come preach to you today. Would you welcome Marco Mahar, our youth pastor? Hallelujah. I was joking with him the other day. You know, he grew up in Africa when he was about, what, did you get there when you were four?
Three.
He was 3 years old when he got there. So I was joking with him the other day. He's the African on staff. And... you know, and we had a good time with that, and it is good. I appreciate his heart for the things of God, and he's going to share to you today about the Holy Spirit, I think, right?
Oh, you need this?
You got your own, okay.
Thank you, Pastor. It's so great for me to have this opportunity to bring to you the Word this morning. But before I do, can we, I want to recognize two people. It's their birthday today. PJ Comer over here, it's her birthday. And Taylor Ard's birthday as well. Happy birthday, you guys. It's so good to have you guys this morning on your birthday. Thank you for being here. Pastor Perry and Pastor David have done such a great job bringing the word, haven't they, the last several weeks? It's been so great. It's been enriching my life, and I am so grateful for them. I'm so grateful for Pastor Larry. I'm so grateful for Pastor Larry and for you, Freedom Church. The other day I was thinking, it's in September, it'll be 4 years that I've been here. And I have had the time of my life with your kids and your students. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be here and to be your youth their youth pastor here at Freedom Church and to serve on this amazing staff. So thank you, Pastor Larry. And thank you to all those that are watching online as well. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn to John chapter 14? John chapter 14. This morning and next week, I'm going to be speaking on who is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? But before we do, can we go ahead and pray over this service and pray over this time? Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Word. I thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Word and the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that as I share what you have laid on my heart, God, I pray that you bless this Word, bless those, Lord, that are here or watching online, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. John chapter 14, verse 15, I'm going to be reading now the Message version for this passage. It says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him. Doesn't know what to look for, but you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. The first description that you and I need to know about the Holy Spirit is that he is a person. He's a person. And he is not an it. Sometimes we like to refer unto the Holy Spirit as an it or a thing or a ghost. He's not any of those things. He is a person. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person with a personality, just like God the Father and just like God the Son. He has a personality because he is a person. And most importantly, though, he is our friend. Amen? He is our friend, a really good friend. When you read all the different translations, you'll find a different word for friend. Whether you're reading from the NIV, the ESV, the KJV, the Message version, the Passion Translation, whatever version you read your word from, you'll see that there's a different word for friend. There is advocate, there is comforter, there is helper, and there is friend. In the Greek translation, which is the original language of the New Testament, in the Greek, the word is paraclete. Paraclete, which means someone to come alongside to help. Now, doesn't that sound like an advocate? Doesn't that sound like a helper, a friend, a comforter? That is who the Holy Spirit is. That is who the Holy Spirit is. He's a friend who comes alongside to help. That's who he is. Do you have a really good friend in your life? Do you have a really good friend in your life? If you do, then you know that a friend is described as someone who loves you, who protects you, who believes in you, and encourages you. That is what a friend does. That's what makes up a friend. And our friend, the Holy Spirit, does all these as well. Number one, the Holy Spirit is someone who loves you. The Holy Spirit is someone who loves you. Did you know that he loves you? Well, how do I know that? How do I know that you and I are loved by the Holy Spirit? Because he was gifted to you and me from the Father and introduced to you and I from his Son, Jesus Christ. That's how I know. That is how I know the Holy Spirit loves you and me. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we know and believe that God the Father is love, that he would send his son, Jesus, to die for you and me, if we know that to be true, then we have to believe that the Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus says will teach you and me everything and remind us all that he said to his disciples, is someone who loves you and me. Amen. Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. You see, a friend is one that loves you and he wants to spend time with you. I have a friend just like that up north in Pennsylvania who has known me really ever since we were toddlers. We were running around the church together when before my family felt the call of God to go to the mission field. We were running around the church. We were a part of Rainbows. Any of you remember Rainbows? All right. We were a part of Rainbows together, and we would run around the church all the time. And when I was overseas, this friend would write me letters. He would handwrite me letters. He would send me birthday cards. He would send me Easter cards and Christmas cards. And not only that, he would send me gifts from Pennsylvania all the way to Cameroon, Africa. He would send me those things. And I remember specifically some of the gifts because as young as I was, I didn't have American candy or anything like that overseas. And so I remember him and his family would write my family and ask, what could we send you? Well, for my dad, it was brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts. He really wanted those brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts because we couldn't get them over there. For me, it was all the unhealthy stuff that a kid would want. Fruit by the foot. Twizzlers, Wonka Nerds, all those kinds of things. I would ask for all the candy, all the things that were not good for me, all the time. And he would send those to me on those special occasions. But this was what was amazing about this friend of mine. He would not miss a year. He would never miss a year. And when I'd go back to the States, come back to the States and go to Pennsylvania, we'd pick up right where we left off. Do you like friends like that? I know for me, growing up overseas, I depended on friends to do that because I missed 4 years of what was going on here in America that it was so refreshing to have a friend that you could pick up right where you left off. And that was that friend of mine. He would always make time for me. Any time I would go to Pennsylvania, he would make time for me. Anytime that he was in and around my area, I would make time for him because that is who he is. That was what a friend does. You see, the Holy Spirit loves you and wants you to make time for him. He wants you to make time for him. When you spend time in his presence, make time to get to know the Holy Spirit because he is somebody who loves you. He is a person. He has a personality, and he wants to get to know you. He wants to love you, but we need to have the chance. We need to take the chance to get to know our friend, the Holy Spirit. And if you want to get to know the Holy Spirit better, I would recommend this. I would recommend read and study the book of Acts. Read and study the book of Acts. This is something that over the last 4 or 5 years, I'm doing on a regular basis. At least one time a year do I go through the book of Acts because I need to be reminded of who the Holy Spirit is. I need to be reminded of the power that he wants to fill me with. Amen? You'll learn not just about his character, but the power that he wants to fill you with because he is a friend and he is someone who loves you. Number two, the Holy Spirit is someone who protects you. The Holy Spirit is someone who protects you. He protects you by keeping you safe and warning you. I read a story of a young pastor coming home from a retreat in the mountains and how the Holy Spirit protected him. He was driving his small car in the fast lane on the freeway late at night. And he said he felt a prompting to pull into the lane on his right. And so he did, and no sooner did he a car came speeding by, driving the wrong way in the lane that he was in. Now, if you ask him what happened, he will tell you that it was the Holy Spirit protecting him. He will tell you that it was the Holy Spirit protecting him. And I know society can chalk up all different kinds of excuses, all different kinds of reasons of what led him to move over into the right lane. We are so good, society is so good at chalking up different reasons for something that happens spiritually. They are so good. And I know that society does that. But you and I were not there. Society, everyone out there was not there in the car. The Holy Spirit was in the car with that young pastor as he was going through those mountains, and he was the one that protected him. Amen? The Holy Spirit doesn't only protect you by speaking directly to you. Sometimes he will speak to you with a prompting like that young pastor, but he doesn't always speak directly to you. Sometimes he communicates through other people to you. In Acts chapter 20, Paul was saying farewell to the Ephesian elders and told them why he was returning to Jerusalem. In verse 23, he says, "I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." You see, the Holy Spirit used those in the church, used those Ephesian elders to speak to Paul and to tell him that prison and hardships are facing him. Can I just say that the Holy Spirit can speak through you? Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit can speak through you? It doesn't take whoever is up on this platform. They are not the only ones that the Holy Spirit speaks through. He can speak through you. He can speak through every single one of you that call upon the name of the Lord. He can speak through you. So what has he protected you from? What has he spoken to you that has altered your course? Who has the Holy Spirit communicated through to speak directly to you? Have you ever wondered how many times the Holy Spirit has protected you and me, and we never even stopped to notice it? Have you ever wondered that? As I was preparing this sermon, I was just thinking about how many times has the Holy Spirit protected my life, protected my family's life, protected my wife's life, and I never even stopped to notice and give him glory for it. The Holy Spirit is someone who protects you. We need to listen as Christ followers. We need to listen because he might just be warning you and me, trying to protect you and me, like a friend does, because that is who he is. He is a friend. He is somebody who loves you, and he is somebody who protects you. Number three, the Holy Spirit is someone who believes and encourages you. The Holy Spirit believes in you when nobody else does. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit believes in you when nobody else does. He knows whether you're telling the truth or not. You know how I know that? Because earlier in that passage that we read in John chapter 14, it says that he is the Spirit of truth. He knows whether you're telling the truth. He knows your life. He knows your strengths and weaknesses. He knows your capabilities better than you do. He knows your capabilities better than you and I. And he knows you have a calling on your life to change your world for him. That's what he knows. He knows that each and every one of us have a calling. Have a calling to change our world for him. The Holy Spirit encourages you by first reminding you and teaching you what his word says. In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the advocate..." You see, I'm using another translation here. "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." He encourages you by giving you peace when you're in need of peace. Our world needs peace, amen? And our world needs the Holy Spirit. Our world needs those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, who love Him so much to stand up and speak, to stand up and speak and to act. He gives you peace when you're in need of His peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, the next verse down, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And He also encourages you by sending you and me those that have the gift of encouragement. In Romans chapter 12, Paul speaks about spiritual gifts. And he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, if you have the gift of encouragement, then give encouragement. I'm looking for those that have the gift of encouragement in this room. I'm looking for those that have the gift of encouragement to lead, help lead those that are in their marketplace to Jesus Christ. I'm looking for those. We are looking for those. God is looking for those. The Holy Spirit wants to use you to be that voice of encouragement. Has there been ever a time when the Holy Spirit has encouraged you? Has there been ever a time when the Holy Spirit has encouraged you? I know for me, all three of these ways He has encouraged me. There were times when I would remember that I would run because I needed a word from the Lord. I needed a word from the Lord. I felt like I was in a corner and everything was coming around me. And I ran to the Lord. There were times when I remember I needed peace because I was walking through a valley and I simply needed the Holy Spirit to give me peace. There were times when I remember when I desperately wanted to hear somebody encourage me. Along the way, I needed to know whether or not I was still moving forward, because I kept on looking back and I needed someone to help me. I needed the Holy Spirit to send people that would encourage me along the way. So I know that He works in all three of these ways, and He still does to this day. Has there been a time when the Holy Spirit has encouraged you? If I could have the worship and the altar team come forward, please. We have an amazing, we are so blessed in this church to have an altar team, amen? Amen. If I could have the altar team come up, I'd really appreciate it. This team has been praying for you. Has been praying for this service, has been praying for what God is going to do in your life. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that there is someone standing with me in prayer. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a person, and He is our friend. He is someone who loves you. He loves you. He protects you. He believes in you and encourages you. That is who the Holy Spirit is. I could have chose many different ways and descriptions on who the Holy Spirit is for this Sunday morning. But if there's one thing that I want to leave with you today, is that the Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's not an it. He is a person with a personality, and He wants to empower you to do His work. That's what He wants. Even during this time when we're social distancing, even during this time when we can't go or do certain things that we really may necessarily want to do, He still wants to use you. He still wants to use you. He still wants to give you the words to speak in your marketplace, in your world. He is someone who loves you, someone who cares for you, someone who protects you, someone who encourages you and believes in you. That is our friend, the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I don't want anybody looking around. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you want a relationship with Jesus. Maybe this during this whole time you've heard that the Holy Spirit is a person. Okay. Maybe you're not even sure on who the Father is or who the Son is. The only way that you get to know someone is when you spend time with them. That's the only time you get to know them. So I would invite you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've been running away from having a relationship with Jesus, I want you to raise your hand in this room. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. If everybody could repeat this prayer, it's not a magical prayer. It's not a formula. It's just a prayer. It's just a prayer. If everybody could repeat this prayer, please do so. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I believe by faith that you died for me, and I want to live for you. I commit my life to you right now, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Would you put your hands together for the Lord that prayed that prayer for the very first time? Amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, maybe this was the first time, maybe it was the second time, maybe you needed to recommit your life to Christ. Let me tell you, you started a relationship with not just Jesus Christ, but with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what my Bible says. And if you started that, I would like to invite you to come and see one of these altar workers. They would be happy to pray for you. They would be happy to pray for you, and they would love to tell you what is the next step. Because here at Freedom Church, we don't believe that a relationship ends at a prayer of salvation. That it involves a relationship which involves growth. You have to learn. You have to teach. You have to get to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these altar workers would love to have the chance to talk to you. Or maybe you need a touch from the Lord. Maybe you need a touch from the Lord. Maybe you're walking through a valley and you don't know, and you need the Holy Spirit to encourage you, to tell you that He believes in you. Every single one of these altar workers, I know, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they love you and want to pray for you. So as we sing this song, Pastor's going to come to the platform. And I would invite you, if you need prayer, or if you prayed that prayer of salvation and you meant it, come see one of our altar workers up here.